Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Rock brought back the Rock concert and cut a hell of a promo on Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. Let's talk about it. I'm Luke Owen, DAD, here on the Saturday SmackDown Wrestle Talk podcast, and I'm joined by Sat E Day himself. Sat E Niangi is joining me here on the Wrestle Podcast. Sat, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know, me and Luke were talking. I went out last night. Going out and doing something back-to-back is something that I'm not used to. I haven't done that in a while. But I'm excited to talk about SmackDown. So many incredible things have happened. Everyone excited because Rock got his Hollywood theme back. What's going on?
Yes.
Have you lost me?
I don't know. You're still here. I've just lost your camera.
Oh. I don't know if my camera's not there. The weird thing is, I've got a camera 4K one, and that's the one that's basically going into business for itself. So I don't know why you can't see me, but I can see everyone else while work on my camera. But yeah, The Rock's got his theme back. He's the final boss, and we had a nice rock concert because you had actual musicians playing in the background.
Yes, with everything written down lovely for The Rock, so he didn't have to remember any lyrics. But anyway, please, while you're watching, please press the subscribe button. Leave a little comment down below with what you thought of this. You're watching this video on demand. If you're watching live, join the live chat and let us know what you thought of this episode of SmackDown. And if you want your thoughts read out on the air, wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out all of them above the $5 amount before the end of the show. So while Sat is trying to work, I will say as well, Sat was bragging about how good this camera was. So
it was working last week.
We'll see
Luke,
how we go.
Luke, you're the curse, because me and Dan did a show last week with my camera. I had no issues with the camera.
I will not take this.
I'm just saying. I'm sorry. It's just like something's different from last week. Dad's not here. You're here. My camera's probably intimidated. My camera's probably intimidated, so I don't know. Maybe I go standard definition. Maybe the high resolution's not working, but yeah.
The Rock took us back to, you know, the early aughts with this rock concert, so maybe you need to go back to the early aughts as well. We'll go standard def with this one. That's the problem.
Yeah. You know what? I might just yank it out and just go FaceTime camera. Gosh, I'm loving the fact that I was in high definition quality that people can see me. But yeah, while we're talking, I'll fiddle around while we're talking.
You fiddle around. We can't see what you're doing, so you fiddle around with whatever you need to fiddle around with, and I'll take us through what happened in this opening segment here.
All right. Yes, sounds like a deal.
They had advertised that The Rock was going to be on the show and he was going to be doing a rock concert. WrestleVotes had been reporting this as well, that it was in the works. Cody Rhodes was also advertised for this show, but was not on it. He wrestled in the dark match. So that kind of wraps up the 3 weeks we had of Cody Rhodes being advertised for SmackDown. And he was only on one of those three that he was advertised for. Both the other two, he only did dark match segments, maybe we'll talk about that in a little bit. I personally think that's an error, but, you know, we can talk about that in a bit. But this was a 20-minute opening segment for the show. Some reports have said that it was supposed to go no longer than 14, maybe 15 minutes. So likely he went longer. There was a report last week, I believe, that said that The Rock was not being given as much time as he would have liked, which is why he's doing those social media promos as well. And true to form, he did that again this week. He posted up a 10-minute promo on social media before going into SmackDown, which kind of covered a lot of what was said here, but it was still very, very good. And this was two kind of real key things for me here, like in this opening segment, or the opening portion of this, is, like you mentioned earlier, Sat, The Rock has brought back the Hollywood Rock theme, which I'm very, very thrilled about. I'm a big supporter of that theme. And two, this Memphis crowd loved The Rock. Everywhere else that they've been doing this, The Rock has been getting booed out of the building, the heel heat that sort of he's been, you know, gunning for. This week, though, man, this Memphis crowd loved them some Rocky. At one point, he mentioned Cody and Seth, and they got booed. If this was like 99 or even 2008 WWE, they're about Bizarro World. We're in Canada here. Like, usually they cheer John Cena. But no, they were booing Cody, they were booing Seth and cheering The Rock. This crowd, Memphis crowd, loved The Rock.
That's because Memphis, as Rock stated in early in his promo, he's got history there. He wrestled for the USWA, which was Jerry Lawler's company. It was also the developmental for WWE in the 90s. He wrestled as Flex Cavana, as he mentioned there. So he knew for a fact that Memphis is rock country. So he loves Elvis Presley, as he mentioned it. You know, he's paid homage to Elvis with a SmackDown hotel and all that kind of stuff. So he knew himself, and the crowd knew he wasn't going to get booed. So he wasn't going to even try and attempt. But towards the end, when we talk about the promo, he does switch it up. But for most of the promo, it is very much a babyface promo. But as you continue speaking, Luke, I'm going to refresh because I took out the 4K camera, but their FaceTime camera is not working. So I think I have to refresh and I have to come back in again. So as you're talking, right, I'll come back in and you put me back in. Yes.
That's fine. Quick. Yeah. Quick. Yeah. You duck out.
BRB.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah. AFK. I will bring you back in when you're ready to join us.
All right. All right, guys. I'll be back. You see my lovely face.
Saturday day, everyone. But yeah, anyway, so The Rock was here to, as Sat was mentioning there, obviously he's got his roots within the Memphis scene, which is one of my favorite things about Memphis is, guys, he's back. Everyone, yeah. He is here in standard def.
Yeah. Okay, let's do this.
It's a good job you look so good, bud, because you still look great even in standard def.
Darn you! This is the thing that messed the whole thing up. But yeah, let's talk about it.
Later. I was just saying then, one of my favorite things about Memphis is Memphis don't forget. Yeah. Like, this is, no. You know, everyone's like, hey, The Rock got his start in Memphis. I was like, yeah, bud, that was like 30, 40 years ago. Like, it was a long old time ago that The Rock was wrestling in Memphis as Flex Cavana. But it's like, it's same with Jerry Lawler, man. Like, Jerry Lawler is just a celebrity in Memphis and will forever be a celebrity in Memphis. And The Rock is just celebrated in Memphis no matter how often he goes away, no matter when he comes back. He is just celebrated within Memphis. And that was it. And like, he then did a rock concert. He brought out some musicians to provide the music this time. Usually The Rock would play the guitar. This time he had some people do the music for him, which was very good. And he sang songs, the reference the fanny pack, the famous meme fanny pack photo, or as we would call it in the UK, a bum bag. It is a bum bag. And he talked about Cody being looking really weird, like Stardust. And so his promo on Seth was that he's less popular than his wife. But the thing that really caught my ear, I don't think that's wrong either. I think his wife is more popular than him. But the thing that caught my ear on this one, and it's because they'd replayed the promo from last week when all four of them were in the ring together. The Rock said to Seth, I'm going to make your title disappear. I'm your boss. I can just make you no longer the World Heavyweight Championship and just make that belt no longer a thing. And he said it again in this Rock concert. Do you think that he is getting involved in his Drew McIntyre match?
I wasn't thinking that until when you started talking, and I was like, oh no, I think I know where Luke is going with this, and make his title disappear. Because we assume like the literal sense, as in he can make it vacant and no longer existing in within the WWE universe. But yeah, that makes sense. I could see maybe some shenanigans happening in the Drew and Seth match, because we all assume CM Punk might get involved. And what if CM Punk and The Rock get involved? So we might have some shenanigans. But yeah, that'd be like a nice... But at the same time, I think Seth said on Monday on Raw, night two, we're going to have two world title matches on night two. So he's going to defend his title on night two. So yeah, he might play, then now throw out the theory of The Rock potentially turning on Roman, because it's like, if he screws at Seth, Seth may want to have revenge if the Bloodline do win a tag match. But yeah, it adds interesting elements to the show, elements to the storyline, because they can go a different direction. But yeah, he could potentially do that.
Particularly because one of the things I've really loved about this Drew McIntyre character since his heel turn is his basically almost the inconsistencies of it all, which is that he turned heel because he was so pissed off that the Bloodline cost him his world title match at Clash at the Castle. And no one else can see that but him. So imagine if he wins the World Heavyweight Championship because the Bloodline interfere. Like The Rock interferes and costs Seth the match, and Drew picks up the world title via the Bloodline. I think that's brilliant for the Drew character. And that can play then into later in the night, because everyone's favorite theory with the main event is Cody does his, you know, on your left moment, and the Avengers assemble and they all come down to run off the Bloodline during Bloodline rules.
Would you like that to happen, though? Do a part of you want that to happen?
I mean, look, I think, particularly because The Rock is involved, we are getting some big Attitude Era shenanigans with that main event. And it's just going to be like, this person comes down, then this person comes down, then this person comes down. It's going to be this big old schmoz, but it is going to end off. In my dream world, in my dream scenario, you can do all of that and get all of the pops and everything. But the final thing is just Roman and Cody in the ring. And Cody hits those three crossroads and he gets the win. That's all I want. It's just those final, like, as long as like the final 5 minutes is those two, I'll be happy as Larry.
I want Cody Rhodes to develop like an iron neck that Solo does the Samoan Spike and he no sells it. Like he's Road Warrior Hawk. they'll give me a big pop. Like that tattoo all of a sudden is like a shield for him. Yells in the spike. Yeah. And then
I pitched that early doors. Like I pitched it early doors, is that the Samoan Spike has no effect on Cody Rhodes because of the tattoo. Mm. And I felt that they really dropped the ball in not doing that. Like, you know, if they thought that last year, he'd be world champion by now.
I know, but I'm hoping, because they've already done the finish with Drew McIntyre, is like telegraphing that the third time won't be the charm. So I'm hoping that that's the case, is going to happen like that. But as Avengers assembling, I could see Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, you know, being part of it. I feel like all the people that were victims to the Bloodline, and people are hoping maybe Stone Cold appears just for old time's sake against The Rock as well.
Yeah, which would be fun. Like, I'm in for the fun nostalgia of it all. Like, that seems like a great thing. I don't know what, like, the Stone Cold's got no beef with the Bloodline, I guess, but it's like a fun little bit of fan service.
Yeah, but I can also see, you know how fans are like, I can see them saying overbooking, too much fan service, it takes away from Cody's moment. So I can even see Avengers assembling, or Cody with the minimal help from Seth Rollins, he gets the job done.
So we'll go into the second half of this in a moment, but what did you think of the Rock concert? Did you enjoy this one?
To be honest, weirdly enough, the cadence and the rhythm of the concert reminds me of Elias more than a Rock concert, to be honest. Even how the Rock was delivering it, the Rock's gonna take a time, I'm a bit off beat tonight. Because usually the Rock's got more of a rhythm, so you can tell he's a bit, it's been a while. You know,
but it's also because the Rock plays his own guitar. Like, the Rock plays his own guitar. He's his own rhythm.
You're saying that he had to follow someone else's rhythm, so that's kind of free him off. It's like, how much rehearsal time did he have? You know, but yeah, I liked it for what it was. You know, it's kind of like when you watch a film and then they're doing a reboot and you're like, it's not to that. That scene is not to that. So that, you know, people wanted it eventually, and it was fine for what it was. I just, maybe because the last time he did it, which was doing the last run against John Cena, we didn't have Elias. Maybe I wouldn't have thought that. But when I was listening, I was like, this sounds like an Elias concert, to be honest. But I enjoyed it for what it was. But I enjoyed more the promo at the end when he got serious. Yes, oh, yeah. I'm gonna let you like lay the land for people, because that's when we got to see the final boss. What is this final boss character? We got to see it, because even the glasses, because we're more of a tinted glasses, and I feel that's like another added wrinkle to the character. Because as much as we like Hollywood Rock or Primal Bull Rock, this is a different version of the Rock. This is probably a hybrid of all the Rocks put together into this one final boss.
I agree, because I don't even think it's a combination of Brahma Bull, corporate Rock, Hollywood Rock.
Hollywood.
Yeah. I think it also incorporates actual Hollywood Rock. You know, post DCEU Rock is within this. There's sort of the Hollywood politicker that he did become when he was trying to take over the DCEU before they gave it to James Gunn instead. And he was just like, nah, Shazam 2 don't work for me, brother. But you can put me, give me my own movie and bring me back Henry Cavill. And I'll do a one-on-one match with him instead. And so I think all of that is what makes this final boss character. Love the name The Final Boss as well. Like, it's so, so cool.
Well, you're a video game guy, so this must pop you very hard. Because Final Boss is like a video game archetype, right? So
that's exactly it.
You know, yeah. I'd say it's the unofficial nickname for Gunther as well. For ages, he was known as the final boss. But yeah, this is The Rock actually putting a stamp on it. Trademark is mine. I'm the final boss. It makes sense for me because I'm in the board of directors. Yeah, so I like the nickname, because I was thinking earlier today, it's been a while since The Rock has actually added nicknames, because even like Hollywood Rock, he never called himself Hollywood Rock. We called him that because he went to Hollywood. And it also was like a nod to Hollywood Hogan, who when he turned heel, you know, he became more of a guy that's, you know, flaunting his movies and stuff like that. So the origin of Hollywood Rock stemmed from that, but he never called himself that. So The Final Boss is interesting for me because it's a new nickname, because he hasn't given himself a new nickname in a long time. He creates new catchphrases, new chants. Mm-hmm. When I say poopy, you say but poopy. You know, that was the thing that he was doing. But this guy, you can tell he's focused. So I'm excited. I feel like we rallied against him going through doing his greatest hits, but with this character, you can tell he's focused. Heck, you can't read any scribblings on his hands. You know that he's locked in to this character, into the motivations of the character.
That's it as well, yeah. Because, like, you know, the Rock cons and stuff, some people are making fun of the fact he had everything written down for him. He's a busy guy. He hasn't got time to learn all of these lyrics. That's fine. Like, I haven't got a problem with that at all. I'm actually going to pull a cue from you there, because we've got the live chat going. So when I say poopy, the chat types but. Poopy. In about 20 seconds time, this live chat is going to flood with people just typing but. And I'm going to very much...
Sorry, but mother, it's because of Luke's dirty humor that I started. So we're both culpable for this situation. So I apologize.
There we go.
I just realized that.
Everyone's popping off with it now.
But. If you go to a live show, please remind Luke that he started this. You go, Luke, poopy butt.
Oh, it's Saturday. There are no rules. But let's do it. Okay, so I'm also, because Mod Mother's now going to try and like filter out all of these butts things. But Mod Mother, if you can hear me, I would like a poll, please. Thumbs up, thumbs down on The Rock's concert. I'd actually be really curious in this. I've seen some people really like it, some people really not. So let's have a thumbs up, thumbs down on The Rock concert for our live chat here, see what they made of it. So let's talk about the second half, because I thought this second half was money. I thought this second half was superb. And he was getting these huge Rocky chants, and they talk about the slap. And The Rock's like, you had the chance to really cut a promo on The Rock. And what did you do? And he shows a recap of Raw where Cody cut his very emotional promo about his mum and wanting to hand the world title to his mum. And The Rock was like, Cody, I'm going to make your family pay. You took away my WrestleMania main event, so I'm going to make your family pay now. I'm going to make sure that title stays on my cousin, Roman Reigns. You're not going to get the Universal Championship. Instead, you're going to get this belt. And he pulls from a bag his own weight belt, this Rock branded weight belt. And he talks about, oddly, got to whoop that trick chance, which also happened later on in the main event as well. Is he from the area?
No, he's not. Whoop that trick is a phrase. It means beat that, you know, H-O-E-R-B, that B-I-T-C-H up. That's what trick means. It's just that, and it's also, there's a film called Hustle and Flow, and in the song Hustle and Flow, whoop, that trick's in there. It's just because Trick William happened to have the name Trick. They now reappropriated that chant with him. It was never invented. Trick Williams did not invent it. It was just like, great pop cultural thing. We're just going to now give it to you. And black fans are like, oh yeah, Hustle and Flow. And yeah, it's a phrase. It's a phrase, guys.
Sure, that's fine. That makes more sense then. I was here being like, man, Trick Williams is the second most over wrestler on this whole show.
He's just got a great name. It's just a great name. He just lucked out on a good name and a great chant attached to it. But no, it is a phrase. It's like a southern phrase. When you get that belt, you whoop that trick.
I see. I'm with you now. Yeah. I'm picking up what you're putting down. But anyway, so he pulls this out and he talked about how this belt is going to be covered in the blood of Cody Rhodes, in the sweat of Cody Rhodes, the tears of Cody Rhodes. And then he is going to take that belt and he's going to hand it to Mama Rhodes. And it's going to be, she's going to see all of her son's blood and her son's tears. And it's going to be covered in her tears as well. And when you look down at those tears and you look up at me, I'm going to whisper in your ear, what can I say except you're welcome? If you smell what the final boss is cooking. And that was it. That final line, the sinister, like quiet singing of you're welcome was so, so great. This is up there with some of the best promo work The Rock has ever done in his entire wrestling career. And that covers a lot of great promos. Like, you know, people can always point to that Armageddon 2000 promo for that great, like, that's peak entertaining Rock in that, like, when he was at the height of his babyface popularity. But man, this was among some of the best work that boy has ever done.
You know what? I was happy that, I think I would have probably complained a little bit about the fact that it was too babyface and his, you know, his aura. The Rock has been known for having such, like, the magnitude of his aura cannot be described. And I feel like this run has done a great job of showing it from the shirt and from the glasses and the walk and the music, how everything's been curated. He's almost like, why do you even like The Rock? And you're like, you see my goat? You see why he's incredible? That promo needed to happen because it needed to reiterate the fact he's the heel. It needs to reiterate the fact that he's dangerous. You need to reiterate the fact that you do not know what is going to happen. And it was so great. Because the great thing about the final boss character is we've seen The Rock be vicious before when he's taken out Mankind. I feel like 99 is probably the peak of Rock being violent because he had violent matches against Mankind. So you got to see that side of him. But rarely have you seen The Rock be that vicious or almost sinister. He's always been a comedy heel. You know, he's done comedy heel shtick. But this Rock, this guy could be a monster heel. Like, you can give him a title tomorrow and you wouldn't bat an eyelid because the work that he's doing right now is incredible. And I like when legendary wrestlers add more layers, because you say, usually guys like Edge tried it. What Rock's doing right now with the final boss is what Edge tried to do with Judgment Day. It's kind of like, I don't want to rest my laurels. I don't want to do my greatest hits. I want to reinvent myself. I want to have young people attach me and I put him over. He didn't, you know, quite, Edge didn't quite nail it, but The Rock is nailing it. The final boss is incredible. It's not like, oh, I hate the final boss. Just be the old Rock, because he was the old Rock. He came to a point where we thought gender was more entertaining than Rock who's pandering to America, Rock who's doing all these call and responses. But with this character and mentioning Cody's mum, Cody has to win. I feel like we've been telegraphed all these little nuggets of this great big moment, because to bring up someone's mother, to say how you're going to cry like your son, you can't take that lying down. And also, The Rock's saying as well, he's like, you had your big moment, you slapped me in the face. What'd you do? You cry? What the heck? It's very much Rock's sister, Teal, she said it, the toxic masculinity of the Attitude Era. Because that's what The Rock displays. He's of that era, right? The Attitude Era is toxic masculinity. Whether you like or don't like it, look in the mirror and admit it. What you liked was toxic. And we've come a long way from that kind of style of thinking. But The Rock represents that style where being vulnerable and being emotional for him displays weakness.
I thought this was masterful stuff. And I think you've hit the nail on the head, because what this does is this, because the first half of this is funny Rock. It's Rock doing his jokes. He's doing his funny little rhymes and stuff. And the crowd are chanting Rocky and are really getting into this. So you need to have the second half of the promo where it's like, yeah, we've had our fun and games now. But seriously, I am the heel. I'm the baddie. I'm the final boss here. We are building to a Cody Rock match down the line. Like, that is going to be a main event of a pay-per-view at some point this year, likely for the title as well, because I do think that Cody's winning at WrestleMania. And I don't know whether The Rock's turning on Roman. Because I think when Rock turns on Roman, it'll be after Mania. That sounds like a SmackDown after Mania angle, maybe. Yes. But I think we'll get Cody versus Rock down the line at some point for the world title. People are saying SummerSlam could be SummerSlam. Do you know what? The Rock's got a weird attachment to Survivor Series because that's where he made his debut. And like when he made his comeback and he had the Cena match, when he was coming for his comeback for the Cena match, he wanted to have a match at Survivor Series first. So they did Rock and Cena tagging together to take on the Awesome Truth. They'll do it at Survivor Series. Like, I made my debut here. They celebrated
the Rock's first titles. Won his first title.
Survivor Series 98. Yeah. So yeah, it's like absolutely. And that was like birth of corporate Rock as well. So I think that's a good shout to do it later on in the year. And I cannot say enough good things about this promo. I thought it was needed. The other thing as well, I loved about this, my poor boy Dan. He has been getting some flack from people when talking about The Rock's promos because The Rock takes a lot of like cheap heat gimmicks. Like he'll just say, you know, like cheap heat comedy. And Dan has always been banging this drum of like, The Rock doesn't need to do this. The Rock doesn't, like, The Rock is better than this. And people have argued against him. No, you just don't understand how heels work. Well, The Rock did a heel promo here and it's the best promo he's done in this entire program. This is how heels work. This is how heels work.
He's head and shoulders above. I feel like this run solidified it because it does do a case of like, does nostalgia cloud someone's ability? You know, it's like, was he as good as we say he was? You know, it's kind of like, does his stuff age today? Some of his stuff doesn't, you know, age well. But the fact that he's able to come back and adapt and this version of The Rock can go against anyone in terms of promos. And I don't know if people have been noticing, he's slowly been slimming down. He doesn't look as huge as he was looking when he first came back. Yeah. He's actually getting into ring shape, by the way, because I don't know if people have been noticing, but The Rock does not look like, you know, you can barely fit him in the camera. You have to zoom out a little bit more to fit this gargantuan human being. But he's actually getting into ring shape. And I hope that probably, you know, TJ Wilson and Natty, they're putting him in his paces to get him ready for in the ring, because that's the thing, isn't it? Because people say, all right, okay, the promo's great, but what's he gonna do in the ring? You know, he's gonna blow up in the first 2 minutes, he's gonna get injured again, you know, all people saying that. But at the moment, as we're enjoying this ride, yes, masterful promo. It made me proud because he's my favorite wrestler of all time. It just continues to show why he's the best, and I can't wait to see what happens next in terms of Cody's response, Seth's response. But also Roman Reigns, because at the moment people are not saying that Roman Reigns is not taking a back seat. Then that seems like it's The Rock versus Cody at WrestleMania. Now people are like, I want to see that match now, actually. You know, forget, you know, because Roman is kind of like what I've been complaining about since Seth's been the main champion on his show or in the entire company. I don't see Roman Reigns as a champion anymore. I just see him as a title holder. He's just a guy that has a belt. He's here sometimes and he's not, because he really defends it. And then the fact that The Rock is really taking the ball with his storyline and running with it, it doesn't really look good for Roman. So this next week face-to-face confrontation that we're going to talk about later, it's needed, because we need to start putting the gas into the storyline and then just, you know, hammer it home. That's the main event. Because at the moment, it seems to be Cody versus The Rock.
I got to think some of that is by design, that The Rock is making himself feel more important than Roman Reigns, because he,
of course,
I think character wise, he believes he's the real head of the table, but he's always playing this long game before he does become the head of the table when they do the eventual Roman versus Rock match. So I think that is partially by design. The other thing I was going to ask you as well, because I mentioned it earlier when you were sort of like, you know, trying to fix your camera, but Cody was there tonight. Cody was at the show. He worked the dark match. It was him versus Drew McIntyre in the dark match. This is the third week now that Cody's been advertised for SmackDown. He's on next week's show. because they're doing the face-to-face with him and Roman, which I think is, again, I think is much needed for this feud to make everyone remember, no, this is the match. It's Cody versus Roman. Would you have had Cody on this show?
No. I get they're trying to pace. It's quite, it's they're in a weird situation, almost like harkens back to the Attitude Era. This is an overarching storyline. You don't want to blow through so many great segments all in one go. You want to build anticipation because we're going to talk about like the Bayley EO storyline. We're going to debate whether or not that storyline got blown up a bit too soon and now we're just treading water. They don't want to tread water. I think every single week, it's like a TV show. You've got Rock's promo, that's the hook. Okay, how's Cody going to respond? If you're in the same show, then it's like, what are we going to do on Monday? What's the Monday's hook? The hook for Monday, not the hook from AEW, the hook for the show is Cody's response. So yeah, I feel like they've done a great job. I would do that. You have to pace yourself because you don't want to give all the money promos all in one go. Maybe you have another in-ring confrontation between The Rock and Cody towards the end, like the last Raw SmackDown before WrestleMania. You can't blow through all the appearances and confrontations all in one go.
I would agree with you. I said earlier in the show that I thought it was a mistake, but the more I think about it, I think I'm wrong on that. I think you're right. I think you don't want to just blow all of your big spots early. You're still, you know, we're three or so weeks out still from Mania, so you can't do everything all at once. Everything everywhere, in fact. So sometimes you do need to hold back on some of these things and actually just have Cody there to sell some local advertising. And he shows up and he does a 3-minute match with Drew McIntyre. That's actually probably a better use than having him on TV, particularly because next week it's the Cody Roman face-off.
Yes. And I just realized, okay, if we didn't have Cody come out, you know what would have happened? We'd have two matches on SmackDown. Cody's entrance. Exactly. Cody's entire entrance. Heck, we're going to talk about Randy Orton versus Grayson Waller. Randy Orton's whole song, the entire song played. And then we had job entrances later. But yeah, if we had Cody come out, we would have been crying because it would have been like, sorry, guys. Bayley's in the main event. You guys toss a coin because we blew through. Yeah. It's a 2-hour show.
Poor Dragon League. Poor Dragon League. Okay, so last things, we've gone quite long on this, but the last couple of things I wanted to mention were this has been, like you, Rock's one of my guys. Like, Rock was my first favorite wrestler. And I would argue I've struggled with that since 2011 because I thought his comeback with Cena was not great. I thought it kind of exposed some of the Rock's weaknesses. The matches, the two main event matches he had with Cena weren't good. The tag match wasn't that good either. And some of the promo stuff wasn't all that great either. I thought Cookie Puss was well lame. He beat CM Punk. I thought some of that was all quite bad. And then every time The Rock has shown up since has been a level of like, maybe he's not as good as I remember him being. Maybe I've just got rose-tinted glasses. You go back and watch and you're like, oh no, it is great. But maybe it's like nostalgia's playing tricks upon me. Then you see a promo like this, you're like, no, he is good. He just needs to believe in what he's doing. He just needs to buy into what he's doing and you can get great Rock again. So I feel slightly vindicated in being a Rock fan and sticking with it.
No, because even like, for example, when I wanted Cody, because the weird thing is, it was quite hard going against my favorite of all time because I was like, listen, as much as I want The Rock, and yeah, it was at one point a dream match to have Roman Reigns versus The Rock, but it wasn't that time yet. I keep saying when they did Brock versus Roman for the titles, that's when it should have been The Rock versus Roman because that's where we were climbing for something different. You can't come back in when we actually got an over babyface because it was that bad, the fact that we needed Cody to jump from the other show. We need someone fresh, and we got someone fresh. You know, we've been stuck with him. He's got a unique story that's likened to a TV show. It's kind of like, it's almost like a Hong Kong cinema film. It's like, you know, must avenge my father. I must get this, you know, talisman to my family. You know, that's a kind of storyline. And then The Rock's coming, yeah, I'm ready, guys, now. Let's do the story. No. Maybe next year, not this year. And like you're saying, it was Dwayne Johnson playing the part of The Rock. It wasn't The Rock. Those times when he came back, it was clearly Dwayne Johnson, like, oh, I was once a wrestling character and you're like, why are you polite? The Rock's not polite. You know what I'm saying? Like, hi, I'm kissing. Rock never really wasn't pandering Yeah. So Dwayne Johnson was too much of the pandering sign. I'm like, I want The Rock. I just don't want Dwayne Johnson playing The Rock or going through, you know, the bases. What's my catchphrase? If you smell, finally The Rock has come back. Yes, guys, that's me. Boots to booty cheeks. You know what I'm saying? I just come back, you know, fruity pebbles, you know, all that kind of stuff. I can't remember. Can you just write it down? Yeah, it was just too much. It was obvious. I think we are smarter because we're older. When we watched The Rock, we're younger. And even then, he believed. You're right. He believed. And he believes his character. And also, the final boss, you could argue, is because, darn it, he's a tribal chief. I need a better nickname. You can argue there's so many layers to this storyline. You know, you're the tribal chief, but I am the final boss. And
it's great, ooh, man. Very, very good. Yeah, continue voting in our poll because we are asking, did you enjoy the segment? Thumbs up, thumbs down. The Rock concert, that is. But I think we're all in agreement. That promo was awesome. That promo was rad. So this is just The Rock concert, the singing bit overall. So vote over in that poll there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And while you're doing it, get your Ultra Chats into wrestle.com/support. We'll read out all of them before the end of the show. And Cody Moody here says, good morning. Totally love the Mama Rhodes part of the segment as well as the concert. Someone pointed this out, and I realized too that The Rock's new theme starts with electrifying, then cuts into The Rock Says, then hits Hollywood Rock. Last thing, I didn't grow up with The Rock. I was born in 1990. Excuse me. I was born in 1999 and started watching wrestling in 2010. Learning the history of wrestling and his influence / roots, I love seeing effing heel Rock open a show, especially SmackDown. This is very exciting for me. Love y'all. Well, we love you too. Ben Vlerick here says, I do hope that Rhodes is allowed to strike back at Rock. At least Cody is comfortable with his emotions. Rock is so fragile, he has a no-lose contract for his movies, and dude can't accept that Black Adam bombed. Big ego, fragile ego. I doubt it'll be brought up, though. It's not that I'm butthurt Rock made fun of him. It's more that it would only be fair, so I hope that Cody gets that shot. Like Cena Punk, who wiped the floor with Rock. If you dish it out, you've got to be able to take it. With his stick and his candy ass and his Rudy poos. I bet everything I own wants Rock and Roman feud. He's calling him tribal queef. Absolutely hilarious, like Cena having lady parts or Rock being a cookie puss. You man-child. All right, maybe I am a little butthurt. I genuinely do not like that man. Some big thoughts from Ben there. Some big emotions from Ben in that.
Ben, I guess it's a safe space. We won't judge you.
Yeah.
But we love The Rock. But you know what? That's what makes conversation great. We don't have to agree with everything. It just happened to me and Luke. We love The Rock and we get it. He's doing a great job. He's playing the heel. You're not meant to love him. You're meant to boo him. So yay, Rock.
Yeah. I mean, the thing for me is like, because Ollie and I, you know, we talk about movies a lot, like in our spare time and stuff. And The Rock has been a bit of a running joke for us for so many years because of, you know, he just keeps pretending all of his movies have been big successes. So there was that period of time where Black Adam was like tanking everybody. It was like, no, it made money in this one very specific region, turned a profit, successful movie. Give me the DCEU. Kind of love The Rock for that bizarre nature of himself, of the Dwayne Johnson, I suppose.
Dwayne.
Mayor Baseball Dan's. DJ says, hello, Luke. Hello, Sat. I hope that you and everyone you know and love is doing well on this fine Sat-E day. My 16-carat week is over and I'm tired but happy. Looking forward to Mania weekend. Love The Rock using his Hollywood theme now. That's so interesting. I mean, it was, you know, we've mentioned earlier. I wonder if that is the new theme is just Hollywood Rock, or is it the combination of all three? So that's what he came out to today is going to be his new theme as a whole. It's not just going to be the whole... Just the Hollywood Rock portion.
Well, I did like the slow down Rock says into Hollywood Rock. I'll keep that part. Electrifying, I was never a fan of that. I felt like Jim Johnson, you went too far. You could have just used the classic Rock says, you know, or the Hollywood Rock and Rock says for me, they were the standard bearers of rock themes. And electrifying sounded like very much Dwayne Johnson's theme. It's kind of like like my theme, but it's not as cool. It's kind of it's too polished, if that makes sense. It's very too polished, it lacked the grit these old songs have. When you hear it, you're like, yeah, okay, cool, yeah. But when you hear the Hollywood theme, the slow walk down the ring, or the Rock says the triumphant, booming, brassy instruments. That's why I like in the Rock's theme. Electrifying, I'm not a fan of that. So if you take that part off and go to Rock says and Hollywood Rock, yay. If not, 20-minute entrances. But then again, when you used the helicopter, 30-minute entrance. Oh, so I do that lane.
Entrance video was so long. There's so many shots of buildings before it's just like, it's cooking. And then he would come out.
I wonder, by the way, by him saying the final, if you smell what the final boss is cooking, it was him saying, take this sound bite, put it into my song now. Because I wouldn't be shocked if next week we hear that being the intro now. Because how he said it so slow as well. It's cooking. On a boss. I'm excited.
Slider 5597 says, was that a whoop that trick chant during the Rock concert? Yeah, and there we go. And if so, what triggered it? There you go. I mean, Sat is here. Good job you're here, bud. Because I'd look like a right clueless dunce in all of this.
Hey, listen, diversity works sometimes, you know, and this is a great situation where having someone from a different background that can give people an insight helps. So please take this little bit of the clip, post it everywhere. Diversity helps. Different shapes and flavors works. Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful man. The chance of that lad, they should call him up already. The Black Prince here says, much love, Luke, and Sat E Day. I'm so effing excited. We get to see The Rock at his greatest, Cody at his greatest, Roman and Drew and Gunther and Ripley. This is going to be our new WrestleMania 17, and I'm so excited. Hype for this show is massive, man. It's like I'm gutted we can't do the watch party this year, like because of logistical problems have let us down at the last minute in terms of venues. But man, I think it would have been so fun. I think people are hyped for this show.
I'm a bit worried though because WrestleMania 17, I always kind of hate it because what they did to The Rock in the end. I was 11 years old, so for me it kind of traumatized me a bit. All that blood, Austin. All that. We'll talk some other time. Patreon one day. Luke will have me on the couch and I'll tell him about the whole trauma of watching that main event. But yes, I don't really love WrestleMania 17 for that reason.
Kuzu here said, the slow build for Rock transitioning back to his heel persona has been great. First his Titantron, then adding the foreboding light last week, now completing it by bringing back the Hollywood theme. Rock was born to play a heel. Thank you, crybabies. Yes, he is, and he's a great, great heel. But let's not take away from the fact that 2000 was, for me, peak Rock, and that was babyface Rock. Flyboy 972 says, happy Stone Cold Day. Oh yeah, we should have said it's 316 day, so happy 316 day.
Get yourself a beer.
Happy Stone Cold Sat E Day. I think one of my favorite aspects of this build is The Rock's hypocrisy. He gets angry if anyone disrespects his family, but doesn't hesitate to talk smack about Cody's family. It's great heel work. That's very good. I like that a lot. And Lee here said, a few months ago, any talk of The Rock was accomplished with talk of how he was only available because of the strikes in Hollywood. Has this changed? Do we know how long he's back for? Well, it changed because he joined the board of directors. So, and I would say he probably joined the board of directors. I don't know this for sure. This is speculation station. He's lost a lot of his influence within Hollywood, so he's gone back to wrestling. That's my guess, my assumption. Not to say he's still not working in Hollywood, though, because he's leaving shortly after Mania. I think it's in May. He's going off to shoot some movie. He's shooting a movie in May, isn't it? So, yeah, so he's going to be taking some time off. So he probably won't be back until the summer. Maybe just
apparently even the into the summer. Yeah, it might be up to the summer.
So he's going to be gone for a little while after WrestleMania. So it may be even the case that they don't even do the Bloodline turn and Rock turns on Roman, or maybe that'll be the last thing he does before he sort of heads off into the sunset for a little bit. So again, why I think if you're going to do Cody Rock, you're probably going to do it at Survivor Series later on in the year. But shall we talk about the rest of SmackDown? Because there was other things on this show. I did do the maths on this. I thought you'd be interested to know. Is it still saved?
Oh, yeah, I am.
No, that's a clock. There was 36 minutes of wrestling on this show, just under 37, which actually I would say is quite impressive given that the Dragon Lee match went 2 minutes. So kudos to SmackDown this week.
Sorry, Luke. I was doing my notes when the match finished. We'll talk about it. Sorry, I'm still in awe. When you say it, I'm like, that's my reaction. Legit. We'll talk more. I'm sorry. I keep cutting you off, and I apologize. I can't get over it. Yeah.
You cut me off as much as you want. Legado del Fantasma took on the LWO in what turned out to be not a qualifying match for WrestleMania. It was a qualifying match for the finals, and the winner of that match will go on to WrestleMania. We're like, it's a mini tournament to crown a winner who will then go on to WrestleMania. So when Legado del Fantasma won this, I was like, man, get your WrestleMania moment. Look at you guys.
Right?
Well, I'm shocked you're on the WrestleMania card and some other teams aren't, but go you.
Yeah.
And then it turns out I was like, oh no, you now have to beat British Strong Style next week if you do want to advance. So, yeah, we've got a little mini tournament to get into our match here. But I enjoyed the dual second rope power slam that Berto and Angel did. I thought that was really nice. And the crowd got into this by the end. They were a bit, kind of burnt out by the Rock segment, but they got into this by the end. And Legado del Fantasma got the win.
Yeah, for me, I feel like it's the best performance I've seen Cruz and Joaquin as a tag team do on the main roster. They were wrestling like their jobs depended on it because, what tends to happen, spring cleaning and so forth. So they need to be like, hey, we got value here on the main roster. The match was great. Like you said, it was like a double gorilla press avalanche from the top rope and, they threw, I think it was Joaquin off. There's so many stuff in this tag team match. I was like, give these guys like 10-15 minutes and they'll be cooking, because I feel like we've got a sample, because during the entirety of the feud I've been kind of disappointed that we've been getting TV style matches. I'm kind of like, why is it not like a barn burner? I guess maybe because we watch trios matches in AEW and then we know these guys are great talents, they are worthy and capable of doing such matches, but we're not seeing it because TV matches kind of like save the best bits for pay-per-view, don't show everyone all your good stuff. But in this match, it's kind of like it's truncated. It's kind of like you got this set amount of time, make impact. And they made impact in the match. I wanted more by the end of it. I feel like LWO upped up their stock more in their loss. It's like this is a team that we should actually do more with. So yeah, I really enjoyed this match. I was like shocked how good this match was. Not to say these guys are not great. I was actually shocked they were allowed to actually show more on the show.
Damage Control and Bailey arrived earlier in the day, and then we had Kayla interview LA Knight on the stage to get a promo on AJ Styles and challenge him to a match at WrestleMania. I really liked LA Knight's line of, AJ, you said that X marks the spot. Well, I spot the mark, and the mark is AJ Styles. That was a good line by him. And he kept putting over this idea that AJ's not here. You flew all the way to Australia to attack me, but you couldn't drive down to Memphis to be here and talk to my face. He kept saying, he's not here, he's not here, he's not here, which was all the more sweeter when AJ ran out and attacked him with a chair from behind and accepted his challenge. We're getting AJ versus LA Knight at WrestleMania. I've got to say, I am stunned. It is not LA Knight versus Logan Paul for the United States Championship.
Luke, we'll be here for hours if I start confessing about how all the little nuggets since Elimination Chamber that we reviewed together, and we talked about all our little theories that had just been dissolving and it's not coming to fruition. Because, for example, we're going to talk about where's Tiffany Stratton, where comes Bianca and Tiffany. There's so many nuggets of potential feuds they've been throwing at us. I've been disappointed that they haven't followed through. It goes to show you how much they have on the main roster, but it's also making me nervous how much may not get on the main roster, because we know how Triple H is quite strict about how many people appear on shows. So yeah, I am shocked that LA Knight is not going to get his WrestleMania moment after not being on WrestleMania last year and having a great, you know, first year on the main roster, getting over to the point that he has. It would have been a great combination of that by having the United States title, but instead we got something different. And I'm annoyed. Yes.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it later. Yes.
I take your point. Like, I still think getting a match with AJ is a big deal. Like, because it's AJ.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good little WrestleMania slot for him. When Logan Paul won the belt at Crown Jewel, I was like, oh man, him versus LA Knight at WrestleMania. That just totally makes sense. Because they've even they've been teasing them to doing a program together. And I was like, man, what a great moment that'd be for LA Knight. What a way to capitalize on the overness of LA Knight at this point. Which I think is one of my biggest criticisms I have with Triple H, is I don't think he's very good at capitalizing on organic when people get organically over. I don't think he's very good. He's also not capitalizing on post-Bloodline storylines. And I think that this is an example of that, but that's not to say that getting a match with AJ Styles is a nothing. I still think it's good, and it gets him on the WrestleMania card. It's better than him not being on the WrestleMania card like last year. But yeah, I'm surprised that we're not getting a bigger match.
Well, unfortunately, AJ Styles matches now have the reputation of being underwhelming. It's kind of weird, because I don't know if it's people trying to gaslight me. I feel like Edge has had okay matches. I feel like the match with Edge was fine. He retired The Undertaker. People liked that whole cinematic match. Shane McMahon match was really good, as people saying. People say that that's the best match he's had in WrestleMania. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to take that and sit. I don't know if that sits well with me, because I feel like his match with Orton was fine. You know, I don't know. It's like, I think we have an expectation of AJ, like the TNA New Japan AJ. And because he's not wrestling like it, we call his match mid. For any other wrestler performing like him, it's a good match. Because it's AJ Styles, people saying that, oh, good luck to LA Knight to have another mid-match, you know, a mid-AJ Styles match. So people have low expectations. They think it's great that he's facing a former WWE champion. That's the caveat. But they think that AJ may not step up to the performance. I don't know.
Man, I don't think it's AJ that's the worry for me. AJ is never the worry for me.
Like, no,
LA
Knight.
I think LA Knight is grand and all. I think LA Knight, this is not TNA LA Knight. This is WWE LA Knight has been as mid as it gets.
What? So you're saying you did not enjoy his match against Roman Reigns?
I thought it was one of the weaker Roman Reigns title defenses. I thought it was probably the weakest Roman Reigns title defense in that year.
So you don't think he was the MVP of that Royal Rumble match, the one I was trying the most?
Yeah, but I don't think it was a particularly great men's Royal Rumble. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm not saying he's bad. I think he's got so much upside.
But we gotta move on swiftly, guys. Because I know it is. I'm basically self-censoring how much I diatribe, because we can turn this into a 2-hour podcast, because that's the kind of guy I am. So I'm self-censoring myself. I'm self-editing, so that way you just don't sit through the stuff and get to the meat and potato things. Yeah, we'll talk about it next time. I think LA Knight has done grand.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's fine. It's just, I agree with Luke. You know, it's just like, you know, a lot of people are on my side here. That's absolutely fine as well.
Steven Ramos, you're on my bad list now, son.
We had a recap of Logan Paul revealing the Prime logo last week and KSI getting the RKO. And then backstage, Logan Paul had a chat with Nick Aldis looking for Randy Orton to get... I quite enjoyed this because, you know, he went in being like, so Randy Orton's getting fined, right? And Nick Aldis was like, yeah, sure, you know, it's fine. Yeah. And it's like, well, I certainly think you should at least apologize for it. And Aldis, I was like, oh, I mean, if you want an apology, why don't you go down to the ring and ask for one? And they were like, well, yeah, all right. And then he left. I thought I really enjoyed Logan Paul here, and I really enjoyed Aldis. We then had Grayson Waller make his entrance, then a recap of Logan Paul's podcast with the announcement of SummerSlam in Cleveland last year. Hi, I'm in Cleveland. It's a Wayne's World joke. It's Delaware. But then we had Kayla chatting with Paul Heyman, Solo, and Jimmy. This is where Jimmy cut promo on Jay to accept his WrestleMania match. Then we showed at ringside the Warren Treaty. Then we got Grayson Waller versus Randy Orton. And it was at this point here, I was like, man, I'm going to start tracking how little wrestling there is on this show, because that was a, from the Damage Control like arriving segment, it felt like a long gap between that tag match and Grayson Waller and Randy Orton.
The pacing's off in WWE, and I don't know why. And originally, we blamed it under old management, but it's kind of like Triple H is still taking on that whole, we're going to do the entrance of a wrestler. He's going to stay out of for like 10 minutes looking like a, you know, like a pillock, where we just, you know, showcase everything else. They should do a better job of showing segments in between matches, because you're right, there's too much time in between until we get to the heart of things.
Before we do, actually, we need to move on to that match. Jimmy and Jay, are you excited?
Big sigh. What would make me excited about this feud is, I feel like Triple H is resisting. Actually, what made this feud more compelling is, bring on their family. Bring on their dad. I think until they bring on Rikishi, I don't care about this feud. I'm going to be honest about it. It's like, you know, Jay's doing well. Jimmy's a good comedy heel. They're on two different levels. This is almost like, it's a huge compliment to Jay. It's almost like when Bret Hart feuded with Jerry King Lawler, and it's like, it's kind of a bit one-sided because one wrestler seems more competent than the other. So it's kind of like, I don't know how it's going to look in the ring. Yeah, they need to do more. It's like, I get it. I think it's because how stacked the roster is. And I know certain matches getting omitted. Certain wrestlers, probably Chad Gable might not make it to WrestleMania, and Jimmy Uso, no offense, is going to be on a WrestleMania in the singles match. That's my mindset of this. They need to do more to earn it. I don't think they've earned it. I think it's just the caveat of like, hey, we're like a BC bloodline storyline. We're coasting off that. Because Jay's done great outside of the bloodline storyline. Jimmy's been coasting on the bloodline storyline. Yeah, he's a great promo. He's doing great character stuff. He's not given much to do in his matches, because I feel like he can do more, but he's not really given much to do in the ring. So he hasn't shone more in the ring. But I feel like this feud is nepo babyism for a match on WrestleMania. You're just coasting off the fact your bloodline and your twins, and you want this match. Give me Rikishi. Give me more heart. Don't say you're the big brother. Show me more. I need more. That's all I can say. More.
I mean, I agree. They started this feud at SummerSlam last year, then decided, oh, we don't want to actually do this match until WrestleMania. So we need to extend this feud out, so they separate from the brands. And in my head, I was like, well, that's grand, actually. Like, you know, pushing this out to WrestleMania, that gives you a long time to build to this match. But what they did was just none of that. They did zero build, and now they're starting the build for this WrestleMania match. And I feel like you had plenty of months where you could have been doing something, and you opted not to. And I think that's why this feels ice cold. Like, I really thought that Jimmy and Jay stare down at the Rumble would be a big thing, and it kind of wasn't. It reminded me of, remember that Royal Rumble where John Cena and Randy Orton had that stare down moment, and they were expecting the crowd to go mad for it, and it was deathly silent. That's kind of the feeling I got with that.
Which is a shame for Jay. Jay's doing his part, and Jimmy is how he's booked. I can't blame Jimmy. It's just kind of like, you're not giving the same kind of, you're being cast in a certain role, and that role does not deserve to be in a wrestler. No, I hate the word deserve. They're great. I don't want to diminish Jimmy's accomplishments, or I know he can do more than what we're seeing. It's just that, like you said, Triple H's thing is like, let's cool it and then heat it up again. It doesn't work a lot. Look at the Chad Gable storyline. I'm going to talk about Chad Gable a lot. Had they kept that thing going, you know, we will be where we want to be. So yeah, it should be, this is a pre-show match, but anyway.
you're preaching to the choir on the Chad Gable thing, but that's all I constantly talk about on that Raw podcast. So apologies of every viewer and listener we have. We did have Grayson Waller taking on Randy Orton. So I was quite thankful to get some wrestling after a while, and they went to an ad break a minute in. Logan Paul came out for commentary. This is a reference that there's not going to be for everyone in the building, but it's just because I've finished the second series of Traitors Australia. But Grayson Waller proper looks like Sam from Traitors Australia. And I kept saying with my wife when we were watching it, I was like, there's this wrestler who's also Australian, funnily enough. He proper looks like him. And Sam was a massive knob. And like, it's so Grayson Waller here, I was like, man, I want to see you get RKO'd real bad, brother. And he did in the end. This didn't really feel like much of a challenge for Randy Orton. And he beat up both Theory and Waller, and he hit the RKO and he got a win.
That's a shame for me. Then again, see, Grayson Waller's cast in the same role that Jimmy Uso's in. We know what Grayson Waller can do because the NXT run. In NXT, he was rarely pinned. Grayson Waller rarely saw his back on the floor longer than 2 seconds. So to see him on the main roster constantly losing, you're giving that the perception to the crowd not to take him seriously. He's got so much huge upside, and I feel like they're kind of wasting it. And then later on, they're going to heat him up or give him money in the bank and be like, well, is he not over? That's because you're not telling us this guy's the future. If you book him like Logan Paul, he's going to come across like a Logan Paul-esque heel. He's got so much more he can do. I just don't like the fact that they're just jobbing him when he can do so much more. Austin Theory, I understand. Talented guy, but waste of space in terms of the charisma department. But Grayson Waller has it in spades, so I was not happy about that.
No, I'll shout out Mark Cram from Wrestle Club podcast once again on this. He's like, man, if I'm Austin Theory, I'm separating myself away from Grayson Waller, because the more I stand closer to him, the more people are going to realize I'm just a bad version of Grayson Waller. And I think there's a lot of upside to Waller, but it's not his time currently. And he got beaten here. And then afterwards, Austin Theory jumped in the ring and he was attacking Randy Orton. He was setting up for Logan Paul to give him the one lucky punch, but Kevin Owens ran down to make the save. Randy Orton nearly gave Kevin Owens the RKO, but then realized he was a friend, so he sort of backed off him a little bit. And then Owens gave Austin Theory the Stone Cold Stunner, and Austin Theory jumped to his feet, turned, and then leapt into the air to be hit by an RKO. It was hilariously wacky. And Austin Theory's gimmick is he does big wacky sells. So this is just on the next list of big wacky sells.
It was unnatural. Because I got hit with a stunner. Yes. Because I do that, right? I get hit with a stunner and I'm going to leap up in the air. Wowzers. That's what it looked like. It was like, clang, wowzers, wing. It felt like Austin Theory really wanted to be on Botchamania. He goes, how can I get into Botchamania for next month? I know what I'm going to do. That's what it felt like. It was unnatural, but I think because of how unbelievable it was, we're kind of glossing over the fact that it wasn't natural. So I ain't going to... It'll be one of those clips we're going to revisit down the line and laugh about how hilariously wacky it is, like you said. So yes, I'm going to leave it like that. It's wacky. But one thing I wanted to add, there's like a mini tease between Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. Waller kind of bails each time Austin Theory gets attacked. Initially, I compared them to Miz and Morrison, but now I realize they're Carlito and Chris Masters. Because Carlito was leaving Chris Masters out to hang out to dry, and then eventually he turned on him and he was the baby face. I was confused because I was like, he's a lunkhead, yeah, but you were kind of a bad friend, but we like you more, so yay. So who knows if Grayson Waller...
We all liked Carlito more. He spat apples.
Exactly. So I don't know if Grayson Waller might actually be the baby face in the end, but at the moment, he's being a bad friend. But it reminds me, it was very much the lead up from, New Year's Revolution to WrestleMania. Carlito was just a bad friend each time Masters getting attacked. And he's like, So they're very much Carlito and Masters. So yeah.
Someone in the chat try to compare this to The Rock selling a stunner. My friend, The Rock did not sell a stunner like that one. Absolutely not. This is more like, he did a backflip. This is more like not even a Scott Hall sell, because the Stone Cold, Scott Hall would just launch himself up into the air to do a big flat back bump. This was, he stood up, turned and then leapt into the air. Someone has done an edit of it I've seen where they've cut out that one shot of him moving from one move to the next, and it does look better, but it is just, it's hilariously wacky is what it was. The big takeaway from this is that the Nick Aldis announced that at WrestleMania it's going to be a triple threat match for the United States Championship: Logan Paul, Randy Orton, and Kevin Owens. Do you think from that the Logan retains?
Oh, yes. I think, yeah. Logan Paul, I think he signed a new contract. I think he's got more dates, so you might see him do more, because they're probably postponing LA Knight and Logan Paul for maybe SummerSlam. Fingers crossed, maybe. I might be heartbroken in the summer. Luke, you might have to pick me up. Yes, that's maybe where they're going. I don't know. But yeah, I do think Logan Paul retains, because Triple H has a kink for long title reigns. He can't help himself. He thinks the longer you are champion, the more prestige it adds. That's the reason why WWE sometimes it feels like a slog, because you know that these people have been champion for a long time. Logan Paul's been champion for like 136 days, whatever. I'm like, really? Already? They just like that. Like, you know, EO's been champion for a while, and you're like, what great EO matches have you seen? She's a great wrestler, but they haven't been booking her enough. It's just like, accolades. Nice. I can be jammed at champion for 6 months, but you'll never see me in the office. That can be a fact.
Yeah.
And it looked good on my resume. Yeah, Triple H is addicted to long title reigns. So I can see some wrestlers retaining the title and Logan Paul being one of them. But at the same time, they can go for that great moment for KO or Randy Orton being champion again, but they don't need it. I feel like KO and Randy Orton, they're world title calibers. They've done their bit in the mid-card. You know, Randy Orton did the later in career mid-card run with the United States title. Yeah, let's not do it again. This is, you know what I'm saying, legend, world title or not.
No, I agree. Like, I don't think Randy Orton is US champion. That doesn't add up to me. I think Logan retains. I think we'll build up towards something at SummerSlam, because it's in Cleveland. Like, it'll probably be... do you know what? Logan versus Miz is probably what it'll end up being. And it'll do it as a big Cleveland thing, and that'll be the US title match at SummerSlam.
Why do you hate us so much, Luke? Why? The thing is, yeah,
hey,
I'm a Miz apologist.
Hey, babyface Miz is great now. Babyface Miz rules. So, you know, like, maybe that'll be a great thing for us.
I'm a Miz apologist. I don't hate the Miz like people do, because I'm one of those people, basically, every wrestler that people hate, I don't hate them. I see a value in them. It's just sometimes they miscast in certain situations. I don't go heavy with the hate. Austin Theory, he gets my hate. Commander, I think he sucks as a luchador. But that's a whole different story. But yeah, there's certain people I just don't like, and I'll straight up say it. But the Miz and Logan Paul, they're really wrestling rule. No, this is LA Knight's moment. LA Knight, yeah.
I think if you be as well, it's like, I just want to make it quite clear that I didn't hate Austin Theory's oversell of the stunner. I think Austin Theory has got a game plan, and that game plan is get clipped and shared on Twitter, and it works. Mm-hmm. So fair play to him. He did the big wacky sell of the stunner when he got one from Austin a couple of years ago. Like, that's why he does this. So full credit to him for that. And it's just the Rocks were better. I'm kidding, of course. Kayla interviewed Damage Control, who were all standing in a row. I thought Dakota Kai was quite good here. She's talking about how, like, the only way this group is going to grow is to cut Bayley from it to set up their main event for later. And then Santos Escobar beat Dragon Lee in 2 minutes. Carlito ran down to make the save, and Legado del Fantasma beat him up. Then Ray ran down to make the save for Carlito and challenged Santos Escobar to a one-on-one match next week. I was like, man, we're seeing a bunch of WrestleMania matches here. And they're like, no, it's happening next week instead. So do you think it's a screwy finish, and that will then lead us to a WrestleMania match? Or is it a multi-person deal of Legado del Fantasma against the LWO at WrestleMania?
Multi-man. I think we're going to get schmoz. I think, because like I said, no offense, I love Jimmy Uso, but I'm going to be that guy. Jimmy Uso's on WrestleMania, Rey Mysterio's not. You know, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna be that guy. No. I think here what's gonna happen is it's gonna be a one-on-one match. Maybe Ray actually wins. This actually gets his women back. I do think that they're gonna blow off the one-on-one feud next week or schmoz. But I do think the team of Carlito, Dragon Lee, and Rey Mysterio are gonna be representing LWO, because I think that combination is yet to face Legado del Fantasma, while the other iteration, the B team squad
of Joaquin and Cruz, they've been rinsed. They're gonna sit out. They're gonna like wave t-shirts. They're gonna sell t-shirts at WrestleMania for them. Like, yeah, we're out here supporting our boys. You know what I'm saying? Woo. So I think it's gonna be a trios match at WrestleMania, or I'm hoping. But then again, hoping is what made me disappointed with a lot of things. So I'm not hoping, I'm just waiting and seeing.
Yeah, I mean, well, I thought they were going to do Rey versus Santos at the singles match, because I thought they would say faction warfare for Karrion's lot versus Bobby and friends.
They might even rename it WrestleMania Showcase Trios Matches, because you have we haven't yet heard of a WrestleMania Showcase like last year. Based on last year's WrestleMania Showcase, I think they should do more showcases of wrestlers. Yeah, you know, it's basically what's the story match. There's no story. Yeah. Get on WrestleMania. You know, so I do think Bobby and Karrion's crew should be on WrestleMania. I don't mind having parallel matches for night one, night two, because they did it last year, and parallel matches are fine. The fact they've built storylines, not like, oh, this is obviously trying to get guys on the show. They've built up these two storylines, separate storylines, and I do think it should be paid off on WrestleMania. So yeah, I hope both get on WrestleMania one, night one and night two. So yeah.
The New Catch Republic beat Pretty Deadly with the Birmingham Hammer. Yeah, yes. Still funny. I still like it. So next week, it's going to be New Catch Republic versus Legado del Fantasma. The winner of that match will get onto the WrestleMania six-way ladder match for the tag titles, which I'd imagine is going to be New Catch Republic. Where do you stand on the idea that I've seen floated around of two different teams pull down the different colored belts at the same time, and that's how we separate out the tag belts again?
Double thumbs up. Because even I think SmackDown got the more exciting tag teams anyway, so I'm annoyed that Raw got most of it, and most of Raw's makeshift tag team. The tag champions are makeshift. I mean, you know, there's two guys in a crew teaming up together, and then you've got Awesome Truth. The singles guys, they were teamed up before. Missed turn on Truth. Don't want Truth teaming up with him. But yeah, so it's a shame that they got compelling tag division, which won't kind of be highlighted, because you're kind of like, where's your tag division? That's your tag division? They got more exciting tag team. And it's a shame that some of them won't make it on there. But yeah, separate the belts. It's time for us to go separate ways. Let's consciously uncouple and go our own separate ways, please.
I think they find a way, like either that's the finish, or they do a finish that is similar to that. So they separate the belts out and then they get renamed and they go back to being the WWE Tag Team Championships and the World Tag Team Championships. And we'll have that gimmick again, and they'll get rid of the red and blue straps and stuff, and we'll just have whatever belts they look like. But I'm ready for some new tag belt designs. If anything, that's my big hope from this. I want some new belt designs. I hate them belts. I think them belts are naff. I want some good-looking belts back.
This is a show for families, so I'm not going to swear, but effing fudging, I hate those belts. And Penny, then 10p belts. I think someone put it on Twitter once how that belt design has lasted longer than the classic tag title design.
It has. It was like, what was 2010s, basically, wasn't it? Because when they had the Penny versions of them.
The Nexus era, because I know that McGillicutty was tag champion with Otunga. They were holding the original version, the gold-plated version. And they went, yeah, let's go with pennies. Let's go with, like, tin belts. So, yeah, I hate it. It's kind of like, I feel like you knew the WWE was rubbish from the lack of Titletrons, the bad music, the bad belts, the fact that you couldn't say referees' names, the fact that the announcers sounded like they were at a golf tournament. This is how you knew, like, it was out of touch. Every single way. And I'm hoping that, you know, Triple H is doing the whole thing. You know, I'm taking my time. I'm doing things. Speed it up a bit. You should have changed the belt last year. What are we doing here? You know what I'm saying? It's 2K24. Yeah. You're going to make it this way. To edit the belts ourselves? That's lazy. You should have changed it last year. Move a bit quicker. What are you doing in your spare time? Move quicker. Goodness.
And then our main event was Bayley versus Dakota Kai. I was really enjoying this match. I thought Bayley was working great. I thought that Dakota was bumping her ass off to make Bayley look awesome. And then I thought, actually, a bit of a shame it just ended in a DQ. And I was like, oh, it's a lame finish. And Asuka was limping during this because I think I don't know when it happened, but something happened and she rolled her ankle maybe. I don't think she's injured because I've seen no reports or anything like that, but she was limping around. And Naomi ran down for the save, but the numbers weren't enough. And we had the over the moonsault to Bayley. Really enjoyed the match. Didn't like the finish. And the beatdown at the end, I was like, ah, poor Naomi, I guess.
Because I don't want to forget this. Damage Control's got a new remix of their theme, and they actually did what I suggested in my head. I was like, change it away from the Bayley-inspired intro, put some Japanese in it, and then they actually did put some Japanese in it. I think you hear EO in the intro, and there's some Japanese lyrics in the song. I'm a theme song mark, as they say. Me and Mayor Painsville Dan, we love to talk about theme songs, so we got keen ears. When someone changed, like, even like a drum beat leaving, I'll be like, oh, they changed the drum beat. Even like Candice Michelle, they added a choral part of a song because it was missing for a while, which made the song sound generic, and then they put it back in, and then she turned heel, and I was like, ah, that was a sign she was turning heel, because the choral, sinister choral part came back, because it took it off when she was a baby face. But anyway, I'm digressing. Yeah, new theme, better than the last one, because Damage Control theme has been trolled a lot online. People make fun of it. Ha ha ha. Damage Control. Yeah. And then we got the power, we got the disc, we got the boom, we got the music. Who knows? But yeah, new music, they look great. Naomi, unfortunately, she's come back to WWE, slotted in the same slot as last time, because people are worried that she's going to be in a tag title feud. The B storyline of this feud would be Naomi and Friend versus the Kabuki Warriors at WrestleMania for the tag titles. People don't want it to be Bianca, because Bianca should face either Tiffany or do something else. Or people say maybe Jade Cargill. Maybe WWE is not confident of her being a solo wrestler, and this is a great way to ease her into the WWE system by having Naomi do most of the work, and she just look great in power stuff. Because they've hinted at so many different things we've yet to see. So who knows? But yeah, I enjoyed Naomi being added to the storyline, because I want them to justify her return, because they reached out to her. She was happy doing TNA stuff. They went, hey, we want you back. We do better. We promise. We'll do better. Do promise. And live up to that promise. So yeah, I'm happy she's included in it, because they're real life friends. So that extra nugget, like, yay, with their wore masks in Boston, and now they're going to be, you know, hanging out. So yeah.
I think this is maybe the Bianca match. Naomi and Bianca. They were chanting for Bianca at the end of this show. So, like, the show's been telling you these are the people that are all, like, teaming together. So Naomi and Bianca going up against Damage Control for the tag titles adds up to me. Hey, but if you want to do Bianca and Tiffany as a singles match instead, there's a great tag partner I've got for you for Naomi. It's Jordynne Grace. You'd pay off that Rumble spot. You bring Jordynne Grace in for a one shot at WrestleMania, going for those tag belts.
And win.
I'd be. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if they'd win, but I mean, look, you've got the good connections. Do that.
That would be a great thing, because at the moment, it's like, this is why, I don't know, should I be annoyed at myself that I read too much into Tiffany's interaction with Bianca in the chamber? The fact that she had backstage segment, but she wasn't directly looking at Bianca. She was looking at Meechin. And I was like, oh, maybe there might be Naomi and Tiffany. Actually, no. It's going to be Tiffany and Bianca, because it's kind of like the current star and the future star, Bianca's WrestleMania streak. But then again, in WWE's mind, accolades department, we're like, did you know that Bianca's never been tag team champion? Grand.
Yeah.
We're going to do that now. Yeah. I just don't like the fact that you hint that stuff, and then after that, oh, forget that hint. I'm struggling to think that this is all mapped. I tweeted earlier, or X'd, or posted earlier, that I feel like Triple H not good at mapping out storylines, because it's he gives you nuggets and stuff, and then no. Why did you pay attention to that? We were just kidding. That's not going anywhere. No. Because now I don't know.
Someone is telling me, is like, Luke, she can't be on it. She's under TNA contract. Have you ever forgotten the Royal Rumble happened? Like, she was literally in the Royal Rumble when she was under contract with TNA. I know Scott D'Amore's not there anymore. Maybe things have changed. Also, may I remind you, Shayna Baszler's working GCW. Like, she's doing Bloodsport. So, and do you know what contract? She's under a WWE contract. These people can go and work elsewhere. They're literally independent contractors. They should be able to go and work elsewhere. Look, there's another person. Jordan's under TNA contract. Dude, I know. I'm not saying she's going to go sign with WWE. I literally said it's a one shot.
Luke, she's under TNA contract, mate. Another thing I want to add as well, the reason why I'm kind of like down on Naomi being tag champions again, because it's
is legit almost like a trap. It's like, there's the belt you left last time. You know, it's kind of like, it's almost like, I don't know. It's almost a sinister edge to it. For me, it's kind of like, last week of a tag title, you didn't really do much with her. So I don't know. It's kind of like, I'll have PTSD. By seeing that belt will give me PTSD. So I hope that, because people are saying that you're just substituting Sasha with, Sasha Banks with Bianca in the situation. So it's kind of like, there's a lot of undercurrent and tone behind putting them together for that. It's kind of, that's what people are saying it. If it was anyone but Naomi, if it was, you know, Jade Cargill and Bianca, it would be, you know, it would look to something different. Like, oh, this, you know, the uneasy tag team thing. Because Naomi's kind of like, oh, you left those belts and they're giving it back to you and you're back in the same old slot. The best friend role. You're not even like the lead star. Yeah. You're like the best friend. Regular old Naomi, the best friend, you know.
Do you know what? I mean, I wonder if that was their plan. Like, I legit wonder if that was their plan, because they were talking to Banks. You know, they wanted to bring Mercedes back. They were having conversations. They were offering her deals. They offered her a contract to come back. I wonder if that was going to be the program they were going to do. It was Bayley versus Io for the women's title, and it was going to be Banks and Naomi going for the tag belts at WrestleMania, getting back the belts they never lost.
And if that is, that's disgusting. You know, I say.
I'm just wondering.
I'm with you now. Not please don't slander Luke. Slander me. I said the D word. Disgusting. Yes, I said not Luke. Luke is a professional. I am not professional. I say stuff that may get me in trouble because that's who I am. I'm close to the flame. I'm like a moth to a flame. I might get burnt. But yeah, the reason I'm saying it's disgusting is because you can't. Bianca should be doing something more meaningful. Yeah, Charlotte's not there. You know, there's so many things people say what happened, but Tiffany's there. I'm more excited about Tiffany and Bianca. Like I was. Now it's nothing there. Yeah, fan cannon, head cannon. Sat, you're thinking too much. You saw too much. Nothing's happening there. I was more excited about different options for Bianca than this. This feels very run of the mill. Yeah, she'll get another, you know, tag title, because I know if it does happen, if it is Naomi and Bianca, they're gonna win the tag belts. They obviously are, but there's better things you can do with Bianca than slot her in this storyline. She's beaten Diamond Control 2 years in a row at Survivor Series. She wants to be done with them, but she's never done with them. It's like every time I leave, you pull me back, they drag me back in. This is her situation. She tried to leave. She even said it. Haha, shame on you, Bayley. I'm going to do my own thing. But no, it's kind of like, oh, I think next week's SmackDown, they're going to inadvertently do something to Bianca that makes her get involved. It's not because of Naomi. She didn't come out for Naomi. She didn't come out for Tennessee because she's from Knoxville. She's a home state girl. She didn't come out for that. So next week, they may do something that rubs up the wrong way that makes her get involved in the storyline. The uneasiness of Bayley and Bianca working together might be the next thread for the storyline for the next few weeks. So, yeah.
Overall, the very entertaining episode of SmackDown. If you like wrestling, then maybe not, because like I thought the wrestling up the dance card was okay, and there wasn't a lot of it. But I thought the Rock stuff was awesome on this show. I really enjoyed the AJ and LA Knights angle. I thought that was very good. And some of the promos backstage were also really good. And I was, as I said, I was really enjoying that main event up until the finish. But thumbs up show for me.
Oh, it's a thumbs up for me as well. I feel like the Legado del Fantasma LWO match was the best match for me of the night. So please check that out. Rock's promo, please check that out. That was incredible. Mm-hmm. Also check out the fact that WWE is like, screw entrances. Y'all going to be in the ring at once. And let's get on with it. New Catch Republic didn't get entrance. Pretty Deadly didn't get entrance. It was kind of like, let's get straight to the match. It was kind of funny how they're kind of working on around the Rock. The Rock's like, this ain't a 3-hour show. Rock, just go to Raw. You've yet to appear on Raw, actually. Go on Raw. It's 3 hours. You can take the first hour. They're barely doing the wrestling on Raw anyway. We won't even notice anything different.
But Rock ain't going to Raw. Raw's drawing 1.4 million viewers. Rock ain't, like, he's not getting out of bed for 1.4 million viewers. That's why he's on Fox. He's getting those 2 million viewer numbers.
Oh, you shrewd individual.
Of course, I'm being facetious, of course. Uh, But anyway, let's see what you thought of this show. We have our poll results for the Rock concert. I'll round this up so the numbers actually make sense. 85% thumbs up, 15% thumbs down. That is a landslide victory. So very good. Well done, Rock. And C. Deaton here says, was absolutely hilarious when Caleb Braxton walked up to Paul and Solo to ask about Jay's challenge to Jimmy and scared the crap out of Paul Heyman. He proper sold that like he'd had a heart attack. It was really funny.
Mm-hmm. He's probably booking like out. A mark.
Oh yeah, he's got a lot going on. Hall of Fame. Booking like a mark says he's got to pick who's inducting him. One of the great honors of my life was having sat like my reply on Twitter about Thunderbolt Patterson. Am I the only one who misses the video packages highlighting inductees' careers on Raw and SmackDown leading into Mania? I feel people don't know about Thunderbolt.
Yes, I'm with you. Thunderbolt Patterson, I did like a deep dive a few years ago. I think it was during the pandemic because I used to be such a nerd with wrestlers. I'm like, who are wrestlers' influences? And I check them out, stuff like that. And especially a black Southern wrestler who wanted to do unionization for wrestlers, and he got blacklisted in the 70s. Thunderbolt Patterson and another wrestler called Rufus R. Jones, who is the father of Slick. Them two, check out Rufus R. Jones. Rufus R. Jones and Thunderbolt Patterson were the influence of Dusty Rhodes. He took their cadence and their patter and molded the American Dream. So if you watch them, for that nugget alone, it's great. And also there's a promo that Thunderbolt Patterson done. It's called If You Move. Move is on my Twitter. I'll send it to Luke if he hasn't seen it. It's one of his legendary promos. And he's great. Thunderbolt Patterson, when he cuts a promo, it's just like, you'll see the Dusty Rhodes element in these wrestlers. It's kind of great when you see like a director's influence from like other directors. And with Dusty Rhodes, you see Thunderbolt Patterson, one of the most charismatic wrestlers of all time. Great, great guy. And I'm happy he's going to the Hall of Fame. He needs to be highlighted. His promos need to be studied. Yes.
Gabriel Reyes, who's been a member for 31 months in a row, said, feel like Triple H struggles with those who get organically over because they're typically baby faces. And I feel like Hunter prefers to put over the heels.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree.
I think I would disagree. I think Trips can book baby faces. I think he knows what he's doing there. But he does love a heel. He loves heels and he loves tag teams.
Luke, this is why I'm saying he doesn't, because let's not forget Rock versus Roman. Sure, yeah, we're done with that. It would have been Rock versus Roman. He had his hottest baby face and he was willing to say, yeah, let's tank his momentum for a second year, but it's okay. You know, the third year, you know what I'm saying? So for that reason, if it's any other time, I would agree with you. But like, they've done a great job with Cody, yada, yada, yada. Nope. I think he was willing to tank Cody. I'm sorry, I'll never forget. Pepperidge Farm, always remember. The North, always remember. He was willing to tank Cody. And that means you can't book baby faces. Heels, yeah, he loves a heel. Long ass heel champion. Yeah, he loves a heel. But baby face is like, yeah, maybe.
I totally hear you. But man, Sami Zayn in NXT, bud. Like, it's one of the all-time great baby face runs.
You know what, yeah? I'm excluding NXT run from Triple H. I think someone else, he's taking someone else's credit. So on the main roster, I'm sorry, you're bringing out Sami Zayn. Why is he not in the world title picture? He should be winning the world title. There's so many things we can get into, like he's not... Four times Intercontinental Champion! What?
But I know. Like I said, like I think they've misjudged this Sami thing. Like, I think they misjudged it. I think Triple H thought he was going to get the exact same result he got in NXT with Sami Zayn going against Gunther, but people wanted Chad because Chad actually gave a really good reason that he should win it instead.
Another thing, yes, babyface Chad Gable got over. What did he do with him? Tag team Vortex with the Viking Raiders. Mixed tag with the Viking Ivar. Oh, crap. We're not even going to put him in a Royal Rumble just to let people know we believe in this guy. That's a babyface. You're not behind him. This guy films his own promo outside of work hours, puts it on social media because it means more to him. Nope. And Sami Zayn did this great babyface promo on Seth Rollins about becoming world champion, which was, you know, he did that a few months ago. Then he couldn't beat Drew. There's so many elements. It's like, it was so easy for him. Triple H said, nah, I'm not going for the easy option. How about, you know, like, yes, Drew McIntyre's lost to Seth before, so it's not a good comparison. But going to beat Kevin Owens and he beat Sami Zayn last year? And it's like, there's no emotional connection. I'm sorry. This is like a storyline that's obviously shoehorned. Such a shoehorned storyline. Take it, guys. It is. And I don't want to take good. It.
It's Philadelphia and it's Rocky. That is why they're doing this. And that's why Sammy's going to win as well. It's exactly why Sammy's going to win. Sammy's going to beat Gunther at WrestleMania. He has told us up front he's going to win because Chamber was Rocky, which means this is Rocky 2. We're in Philadelphia. He's totally winning that belt.
Triple H has never seen Rocky in his life because that's not Rocky 2. What the heck? That's that year. Rocky Balboa saying to Mickey, oh, yo, you know, Mickey, I'm going to go fight for that other belt with the other guy over there. Oh, but it's not Apollo. It's not Apollo. But you know, it's a title, you know.
It's an important title. It's an important title. He's going to go win an important title. And that's the Rocky story we all know and love.
I'm going back to my old high school gym and when my old high school time. Hey, Rocky, it's a high school. You're going to fit up a teenager. No, that's not a Rocky story. The Rocky story is winning a world title from then him and Drew can feed for.
You're misremembering Rocky. You're misremembering Rocky. The story of Rocky is that he lost the first one and then he won the second one. It doesn't matter if it was it might be for a different belt this time, but the point is he won the second one. That is all they're interested in, is he won the second one.
Huh? A former three-time Intercontinental champion is now crying about I can't win matches. And he main event, you know what I'm saying? There's so many, like, I could poke holes in this. And I love Sami Zayn, and it pains my heart and my soul that you're making me poke holes in a guy that I love, a great wrestler who deserves more.
I know. And so Rocky. People are like, he's like, dude, that's not Rocky 2. You just said the same thing. I'm just telling you what WWE are telling me.
I know what you mean.
They don't care about the actual ins and outs of what makes the Rocky 2 moment so good, which is that he finally beats Apollo Creed. They just think the important thing about Rocky 2 is he wins the second one. That's all that matters.
No, I'm with you on that, and it sucks that you have to do the WWE talk because, you know, that will get anyone crucified. But WWE fix, boo! They know nothing. We know more because we are fans.
I also have to point out as well, I often do talk in sarcasm, and I think sometimes that gets a little bit lost. I was talking to a friend of mine over the weekend because there was a comment that was left on the first episode of Monday Night War. It was like, are all three of these guys gay or just British? And I messaged that to a friend of mine, and she was like, I think people just assume Britishness just means campness. Maybe that's our greatest export, and sarcasm. And I was like, it ain't sarcasm, because sarcasm ain't travel. That does not travel, because I try and do sarcasm, and it never travels. Anyway, Brad here says, happy Saturday day. Jimmy pivoted from comic relief to angry older brother so fast it gave me whiplash. Side note, Sat has so many great takes and thoughts we don't have time for. When can we get Sat cast on the channel? Sat's got a much better gig than he has working with us. We'd have loved to have Sat, but Sat is way better for himself outside of our four walls.
The truth comes out there. Yeah, it's I love these guys. It's just that money wise, I just love money. Give me money. I'm not in the budget wise. I work better as in a Roman Reigns Rock kind of situation. But I told him, I always make time for them. I love these guys. They gave me a platform to be here. There will be no Saturday days if WrestleTalk did not give Saturday a chance. So I always have love for Luke for moving NXT from being a live show and making it more in the evening. So after work, there's so many things Luke has done for me. I've thanked him before, but I want to do it publicly because he's a great man. And I want people to know how great he is. He always makes allowances for me. He always asks me, what can you do? How can we work around you? When SmackDown went from being a live show to being a tape show, it's for me because I needed to leave earlier. For them, it was kind of like losing money because you guys put in your ultra chats. They were willing to tank money to make sure that I was comfortable to get home to my daughter. At the time, she was really, really young, and I was very, very conscious about being there where she grew up. So Luke Owen, the podfather of WrestleTalk, is a great guy, and I thank him and the rest of the team for always keeping me in mind and always having my back and always bringing me back to do stuff like this. So thank you very much, mate.
We always love you, brother. So we want to have you around as much as we possibly can. Got a last few ones to go through here. Will has been a member for 7 months in a row. Said, what do you think of WWE having talent working GCW? It's exciting. I think that's great. It's what wrestling should be. It's So I'm really excited. I loved the announcement that Baszler's doing Bloodsport. That's rad.
Yeah, I'm gassed as well. But there's a lot of people that's worried. They're like, oh no, this is Evolve all over again. You know, we know what WWE does. They don't know what casual relationship is. People say that WWE don't know what casual relationship is. They're like, we have to marry you. You have to be in my universe. No. Can I just not do my thing? We want you in our universe. We're gonna have you. So yeah, people are a bit worried that Brett Lauderdale run.
I did not even think of it from that angle. Like, and I should have done, because I was there for NXT UK. I saw what they did to every. I saw what they did to Progress.
Yeah.
Saw what they did to ICW and everything. And I saw what they. So I should have. But I.
You don't think Regal's gonna go, so Shayna, what's like backstage? You don't think, you know what I'm saying? Come on. And they're like, Brett, we got this new gig for you. And Brett's like, yeah, I'm folding GCW. I'm taking this new gig here. And we're now part of WWE. So yeah, that's what people are getting worried about. They're like, oh no, it starts.
Stephen here says, love you, Saturday Day. I just watched the WCW video on the WrestleTalk News channel, and it was awesome. Like, you're awesome at narration. If I get famous enough, I want you to do my biopic narration. Tell Pete I facepalm so hard it is dad joke. I shoot hurt myself before I laughed at it. Well, thank you for checking out that video. I really enjoyed it. When we talked about doing feature videos on Saturdays to replace the Saturday videos that we were doing, the first thing I said was like, just give me, I want to talk about WCW for half an hour. Give me that. So anytime I can talk about that. And I had to self-edit as well. There was loads of stuff I wanted to put into that script that I ended up taking out because time. And lastly here, Broke Guy says, delivering packages on this rainy day, listening to my favorite guys, get some awesome wrestling this year. We are getting awesome wrestling this year, guys. And let's end this poll and find out what you made of this show. And the results are 69%. Nice. Thumbs up with 27%. Thumbs in the middle. So an overwhelmingly thumbs up show. So very happy with that. Sam, any final thoughts before we get on out of here?
No, I'm just, we're on the road to WrestleMania. We're all together now. We're going to get there. And Cody's got to finish his story.
Thank you all so much for watching. We will see you on Tuesday, back on doing the Raw review on Tuesday. So I'll see you there for that with Dan Layton. We'll have the Cody response and Seth response, no doubt. Until then, I've been Nick Cohen, D-A-D. Got to go the right way around. This has been Sat E Niangi. It's Sat E Day. Jam that jam.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.